Hello, everyone. I'm Becca, dietitian by trade, mom 24/7, wife from the start, and when there's a few extra hours in the day, you might find me hitting the trails or on horseback.
And I'm Kara, a therapist to women, a mom to a boy, an entrepreneur, mountain junkie, and a postpartum runner.
And this is Fit for a Queen, a podcast that's devoted to the female athlete wanting to balance the teeter-totter of all the things we desire out of life as women. Performance, health, intellect, and taking time for self, even if we only get 1 minute out of the day.
We're so excited to be bringing you the queens in the athletic world who have done just that. Okay, ladies, take a seat at your thrones, grab your crowns, and welcome to Fit for a Queen. Welcome back to Fit for a Queen. We're excited to have Amanda Slitzer-Tierney in, not in studio, over the phone today. Welcome, Amanda.
Hello.
Hi. I'm going to give the audience a little bit of information about you. So Amanda is a NSCA certified strength and conditioning specialist and holds her master's degree in sports science and exercise psychology and a bachelor's degree in psychology. She's the strength and conditioning coach for the Victory program at McAllen Place and is the owner, founder of Discovering Balance Fitness Coaching and Support. Amanda is currently the co-chair of the Association for Applied Sports Psychology, the Eating Disorders Special Interest Group, and has been working with competitive and recreational athletes with eating disorders since 2006. Over the years, Amanda's gained a wide range of knowledge for the specialized population and found her true passion helping individuals incorporate balanced exercise into the recovery environment. Amanda's goal as a strength and conditioning coach is working with individuals to help identify unhealthy exercise thoughts and behaviors and supporting them in redefining their relationship with fitness. She aims to help her client find a balance between challenging the body and bringing the fun back to exercise. She encourages listening to one's body cues and adequate fueling to maintain a healthy body and mind. Amanda's target reaches beyond the client, and she strives to educate athletes, teams, coaches, parents, athletic trainers, and sport medicine personnel on how to work with this specialized population. Welcome to the podcast, Amanda. We're so happy to have you.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for asking me to be on.
Well, of course, but I have to share a personal story about Amanda because,
does it involve trouble that you two get into?
Nah, I'll keep it PG-13. So when I first started working with eating disorders, there's such a gap in between the knowledge of we know that exercise is a huge component, but how do we work with individuals? So I just started reaching out to people and met Riley Nichols, and he said, oh, you have to talk to Amanda Tierney. So he sets up this phone call, and I think we ended up talking on the phone for an hour and a half.
It was a long time.
Yeah. And I just left like on fire. It's like finding a soulmate with work, kind of like how Kara is to me. And your passion is contagious. You're like one of the first pioneers to bring this into treatment. And that's why we're so excited to have you on and hear a little bit more. And so to start that off, tell us how you got into this unique role of being a strength coach and then working with those that have eating disorders.
Yeah. Well, first off, that phone call meant a lot to me, too. So it was just a call full of passion. So I'm glad that you left feeling the same way.
Well, that's how colleagues become buddies, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, it's definitely been a windy and long path. But honestly, I feel like I'm living my dream job. And I'm truly happy with kind of where I've ended up and how things are continuing to evolve. But it basically started because I had a good friend and teammate who had an eating disorder back in high school. And it seemed like fitness and sport were a big part of that. I know there was probably a lot of contributing factors, but I think a big trigger was comments and messages delivered by our coaches. And so I really saw how that unbalanced relationship with exercise could develop. So I originally thought I wanted to be a therapist. And when I was in my undergrad, I started working at an eating disorder center. And I realized that I solely wanted to focus on on working on the fitness piece of treatment because I felt like it was a bit of a hole in the treatment model. So I became a personal trainer and started collaborating with other treatment team members at all levels of care. And I really had an amazing group of colleagues at the beginning of my career that really supported my role and kind of helped me build up my practice. So that informed kind of the work that I did in grad school. And when I was working on my master's degree, the Victory Program was created, which I was super excited about. And I convinced my incredibly supportive husband, who I was dating at the time, to take a road trip out to St. Louis for the first Eating Disorder and Sport Conference. And I know it may sound nerdy, but I feel like you both get it. But I felt like when I was there, I found my people. It was just really an exciting couple of days. Yeah. And they understood my role and my vision of kind of where I wanted to go with my career. And they were kind of living the work day by day in their program. So on the way back, my husband and I were kind of joking about how, well, maybe we could live in St. Louis. We were living in Philadelphia at the time. And 1 year later, they created the strength and conditioning position. And so we moved out to the Midwest literally right after our wedding. We packed everything up and moved out so I could start my position. And yeah, it was definitely a difficult transition because I'm such an East Coast girl and it was hard moving away from family and friends, but it was a good time for me to break out of my comfort zone. And McCallum's really embraced me and they're including me as part of their treatment team. So, I mean, it's definitely a unique job, but I honestly wouldn't want to be doing anything else. So I love talking about it and connecting with people like you.
Well, and don't downplay the fact that you're recruited by what I consider the godfather and the godmother of athletes and eating disorders, Ron Thompson and Roberta Sherman. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are amazing. Definitely. They really saw the importance of treatment for athletes and how it really does need to be like a specialized track. And I'm so happy that they created the Victory Program with Kim McCallum.
Well, it does sound like the perfect job for you. And you say originally that you wanted to be a therapist, but I think you're a therapist at heart. So you do such a great job of using therapy within actual exercise. Can you provide a couple of examples for our listeners of what that looks like?
I really try and take a non-judgmental and supportive approach to fitness coaching. So I really just want my training environment to be safe and supportive. So when I first meet with athletes, I just tell them to come in as they are. And we kind of joke around how sometimes that may be full of tears and frustration. And other times we might laugh a lot. But I really just, I want to try and make my athletes feel comfortable with being open and honest with that hard work that they're doing. So I guess a couple of examples, I worked with this amazing runner. He had set out to complete like a 4-race series over the course of 4 years. And by the time he had come to work with me, he had already finished 3. So basically like at the finish line, the medal was a puzzle piece. So essentially after you would finish all 4 races, you would have a completed medal. So finished 3, we were working together and he was kind of really upset that he would miss that 4th race due to needing to take time off for treatment and spurred on some negative self-talk. And he was really feeling down on himself. So in one of our sessions, we were talking a lot about that because the race was coming up and he was like, I'm just upset because I'm going to miss that 4th medal to complete the puzzle. So we worked on creating a puzzle piece that would kind of fit into that blank space to complete the medal. So we added an image of how he got his life back. I don't know. It was just really powerful for me to kind of see his process with that.
That's cool. That is some art therapy there, Amanda.
I know. And I am not an art therapist and do not take credit at all for that. I collaborate with amazing clinicians at all points of my job, but it was just fun to kind of show him, you know, it doesn't have to just come in the shape of this medal that you're going to get at the end of the race, but like how cool that you can have this unique piece that like you're getting your life back and you have your family and friends and other hobbies. And so it was really exciting.
Mm-hmm. All of that good stuff that is, you know, connecting to your values and who you are outside of that running too.
Yeah.
Sometimes we forget about that stuff.
You have to tell the story. One of the presentations where, you know, a lot of times our exercise routine is very rigid and you allow them to actually train once they're cleared at the program. And you had the person that was on the treadmill and the electricity went off. And I guess, didn't she start to get so mad at you and thought you purposely did that? And you're like, I didn't plan for the electricity to go off, but hey, this is actually pretty good exposure work.
unexpected exposure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know Rebecca loves that story. And it was basically...
Because I can just imagine how mad they were. And you're probably like, oh, we're just going to go with it.
I was like, I promise I didn't plan this. And I was in a group earlier that day and I was telling them, you know, it's really important to practice flexibility. And, you know, sometimes real life gets in the way and of our planned workouts and we just need to get comfortable with adjusting and practicing that. So I had shared a story about how that very morning I had to be flexible with myself and I had arrived at the YMCA and the group was canceled that I had wanted to do because the instructor got sick. So I just changed up what I was going to do and went home early. And that one particular patient just didn't believe me that, you know, you have to be flexible. She's like, I never had to miss or modify a workout. And so it was just kind of ironic that that day during our one-on-one session, we had that supervised run and like, somehow it wasn't even rain. It was a windstorm that kind of knocked off all power to the building a few times during her run. And power would come back on. She would start running again a few more minutes in. Power went out.
Oh my gosh. I wish I could get it on a YouTube video. I'm sure she doesn't think that's funny. But
yeah, the best part was at the end, we kind of both laughed. And we were adjusting the workout for the third time. And when the power came back on, she was like, you know what, I can just finish out with some stretching. And she's like, she started laughing. She's like, I guess I can be flexible now. And so definitely couldn't have planned that, but it was good.
So tell us, what do you think puts somebody at risk for this unhealthy relationship with exercise and movement? And are there some ways that they can keep it in check?
I mean, I think there are so many things, and this could probably be a whole talk on itself, but everyone's going to have a different experience, but some of the common themes that I would say come up are, you know, maybe some mixed messages from coaches, trainers, parents, even just like how our society views what healthy is. Maybe getting caught up with only exercising to manipulate their weight or kind of a change in body composition. I think a big theme too is people tend to kind of get stuck on focusing on a perfect outcome rather than striving for excellence in sport. You know, unfortunately, another thing that I see a lot in my practice has been a lot of trauma kind of surrounding the fitness environment, which might often put someone at risk for an unhealthy relationship with exercise. You know, another thing is just continuing to participate in exercise that you absolutely hate just because you feel like you have to. I think that comes up a lot just across the board, not even just within eating disorder treatment.
I call the treadmill the dreadmill.
The dreadmill.
Yeah, the dreadmill.
Yeah, I like that.
I think some ways to keep it in check would be tuning into motivations and intentions around activity. I think kind of honoring yourself and being super honest with self and your support system, setting up a system of accountability at all levels of care. I mean, with me, I'm there and I'm there to supervise and support while they're reintegrating fitness. But I really think at any level of care, I try and help people set up a system of accountability of people they might be able to check in with if they're struggling, kind of relying on their support team and their treatment team. yeah, setting up a system of accountability is important. Tuning into body cues, always saying, listen to your body, and finding that balance between challenging yourself to make progress in your sport, but not overdoing it. So a lot of the work that I do with our athletes is like really trying to find that fine line between challenging yourself and overdoing it. Embracing variety and rest, not always easy, but definitely need it.
They look at rest as like an ugly
four-letter word. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was so beautiful today. I had a group right before getting on the phone with you, and two of my athletes had mentioned, you know, it's pretty amazing that now that I'm starting to embrace rest, like I can really feel the difference of feeling stronger on the days that I do go for a run or I do work out. And I just was like, oh, this is the music to my ears. Mm-hmm. But more than just feeling like I'm doing my job, like I'm just so happy. Hopefully that's something that they can remember and sustain throughout their time kind of outside of my work with them and really embrace those rest days to help them with those other workouts that they have.
I was going to ask, the Victory Program is so good at educating practitioners about the role of exercise and eating disorders. And I know some are still like anxious about including exercise and eating disorder treatment. For you, Amanda, how do you see that exercise is a part of recovery or that eating disorder kind of treatment plan?
I think that there's definitely a time and a place to integrate fitness. I think if someone's, you know, medically unstable or just not really nutritionally compliant or not in the headspace to really work on their relationship with fitness, I would absolutely want them to hold off on fitness. But I think that once some of those things are in check and they have the supervision and support, integrating fitness and kind of learning the tools of how to exercise and find things and move your body in a balanced way can be really beneficial, because a lot of times I found when they're not addressing this in treatment, you know, you're doing all of this really hard work nutritionally and therapeutically, and then you go back and into your outpatient world or into these fitness environments, and you really don't have a lot of support or guidance on like what's too much, what's something that I should do, like is my meal plan supporting this? A lot of times I see people struggle if they don't have that support and guidance. So I think it's really a beautiful thing when it can be integrated and woven into their treatment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your program, the Discovering Balance program.
Discovering Balance Fitness Coaching and Support is my outpatient practice. So basically, it's an extension of the work that I do with our Victory Program and patients at McCallum Place. But I work with individuals of various fitness levels to create a balanced and fun relationship with movement. So a big part of that is just finding activities that they are truly passionate about and giving them guidance and support on how to integrate that into their life. I do in-person sessions in my office in St. Louis, as well as phone and Skype sessions. And just as I do at the Victory Program, I collaborate with treatment teams to help outpatient providers kind of navigate that integration of fitness into treatment. And I'm also working on a series of training modules for fitness professionals on kind of how to detect, refer, and treat athletes with eating disorders. And I know Becca and I might be teaming up on some of that. So I'm excited about that.
That is exciting and so needed too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
You are definitely the collaborator.
I love collaboration. I think why not help everyone kind of highlight what they do really well, you know?
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Well, in all these different areas, how are you living out the fit philosophy, balancing performance, health, intellect, and taking time for yourself?
Wow. Well, it's not always easy, but I think, you know, honoring what I want to do and balancing out some of the things that I need to get done. I am 100% an introvert, so needing to take time for myself to recharge is absolutely essential. So ways that I do that, I love my dog Murphy. He's amazing. And so cuddling with him, walking. We live near a beautiful park, so it's a great way to kind of start and finish up the day. I take tons of pictures of him. It's ridiculous. Taking time to read. I love reading and continuing to learn, whether that's reading by myself or sometimes my husband and I like to kind of take turns reading out loud to each other, which is always nice. And with that, like I try to be really intentional about the time off that I have with my husband. Our work schedules don't always line up. And so just getting creative with time, like waking up early, having, you know, coffee or breakfast together, making time to, you know, watch shows or cook or bake, explore the city. I love going to coffee shops and tea shops and trying new restaurants. So I'm always up for that with friends and family. I love like hiking and biking. I've always been the person who like would kill any plant that I owned like within a couple of days. So over the past year and a half, I've really tried to discover my green thumb, and I can say it's going well so far. Oh my gosh. What else?
Like a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. It's so cool to kind of see. I had a spider plant that was obviously like leaning over toward the window to get as much sunlight as possible. So I turned it around the other day, and now it's like really starting to stand up and kind of shift back to the window. So it's just really, I don't know.
You discovered its balance.
I did.
Spider plant is back.
It's really fun. So yeah, that and you know, making time for spiritual connection. As I mentioned, I live extremely far away from family and friends. So just like making time for phone calls and FaceTime. And I love sending snail mail, and I love traveling to see them or exploring other parts of the world. So like I said, it's not always easy, but I love the movement that you both are creating. And it's a good reminder to really focus on those pieces of your fit philosophy. And not always easy, but definitely need it.
Well, Amanda, thanks for your time today. And for anybody that wants information, we'll put her link to Discovering Balance, but we'll also put a link to Eating Disorder and Sport, which you help organize. And this year we'll be in Berkeley, California. So mm-hmm. Kara and I are planning a road trip.
Nice.
We're excited.
Watch out,
about
Kelly.
It.
Here we go.
It is an amazing event. So definitely come.
Well, good. Well, thanks for coming on, and bye, Queens.
Thank you to our sponsor today, Sentimano Counseling. Sentimano Counseling is the premier perinatal mental health practice in Kansas City, treating mood disorders during pregnancy and postpartum, perinatal loss, infertility, eating, and exercise disorders. Go to sentimano.com for further information about the practice and services. For additional information on today's topic and guests, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at FitForAQueen.
Hashtag fit for a queen.
And don't forget to rate us on iTunes. We can't wait for you to join us next time on Fit for a Queen.
Bye, queens.